All right, we're going to take our text this morning in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9. We're going to be all over Samuel a little bit today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your blessings this morning, dear Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity for us to get together around your word, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that you would make it your lesson, dear Lord God, and that you would use this feeble instrument up here, dear Lord God, and get your will done, dear Lord, in spite of me. Dear Lord God, you would open up hearts, dear Lord, that you would do your thing, dear Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to learn about, Lord's given me a thought about, if you lose connection, you've lost it all. If you lose connection, you've lost it all. So, thinking through history of the things that have connected us as people, one of the first things that ever connected us as people is the telegraph. You know, it was one of the first times we were able to send a message across vast areas of land instantly. And it was all done through the Morse code. You've seen the old westerns where they tap out a signal. And then we had Western Union, right? Was that the first mail carrier? That was right, huh? And then the telegraph led us to the telephone. Some of you guys remember the party lines where everything wasn't exactly private, right? I've never experienced one of those, but I have experienced where everything's not exactly private. Then we had television and the radio. And these things, these inventions are with us today, and they were so powerful because they connected. They connected people. They connected information. And that connection is very powerful. Then we went to cell phones, right? And our cell phones turned into smartphones. And our smartphones connected us to the internet and connected us to social media. So now if you go to a restaurant, you've got any wait over 5 minutes, you sit in the lobby with people, everybody's got their face in their smartphone, don't they? So now we're connecting with the rest of the world, but when we look around at each other, we're not connecting to each other anymore. We don't say, hey, how you doing, what you been up to? It's whatever's going on our smartphones. And I'm as guilty as anybody of that, because for some reason I feel like I need to be connected to the outside world all the time. Now we've got one of the most powerful mediums that's ever hit the planet, I believe, is social media. Facebook. Facebook, if Facebook were a country, it'd be the largest country in the world. It's amazing, the connection. And the power of the growth of that media is because it has the ability to connect people. I think there's also this underlying human nature of it just taps right into the gossip thread of everybody's mentality. So there's an unhealthy nature to it. And I think it connects a lot of people that shouldn't be connected at all. You know, a lot of times you don't need to look back in your life. You need to look forward. And there's a reason connections are broken. People move on. But again, this network connects you. Your network of friends and family and coworkers is a very powerful network. you probably got the position you're in right now because you were connected to someone that was connected to that position. If y'all ever notice that, so many deals are made or so many people are hired or so many decisions are made based on the confidence that a friend or that one of your people you're connected with has in you. It's all about, do you think this person can handle that role? Yeah, I've seen them do this other role. Well, I'm not sure. Well, I'm sure. That connection hooks you up with that spot or that position. So the network or the connection is very powerful. That lamp sitting beside Brother Ken right there, if it were not connected to the wall, it would never light up. There's power in connection. So there is one connection that has the most power overall for us in our lives. It's our connection to God. Without that connection, you have nothing. There is power in connection with God. There is direction in connection with God. And there is comfort in connection with God. You forfeit all these things if you forfeit your connection with God. Let's look in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. I want to look at someone. When I was thinking about this thing of connection, the Lord kind of put that on my heart. He brought Saul to mind. Now, this is the Saul that gave David his armor when he went down and fought the Philistines. And David said, "I haven't proved it." This is the Saul that preceded David as king. So when you think of this Saul, when we start talking about Saul, think of a king. Think of a mighty man. In 1 Samuel 9, verse 1, it says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, and the son of Zerar, and the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. Saul was a choice man, a goodly man, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From the shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people." Saul, at this point in time, was a godly young man. It says that he was a choice man. He was a goodlier person. No one was a goodlier person than he. And he was higher than any of the people. Saul had something special. He had God's blessing on him. Saul was connected. Saul was connected to the power that that the Lord had. It said Saul was higher. Another way to say Saul was higher, Saul was favored. When people looked at Saul, they saw something that was favored, something that was favorable, something that was good. So Saul, as this young man, his father's, I'm just kind of get you guys connected a little bit here. Saul's had a duty to do for his father. His father's donkeys had run away. So these donkeys had run away, and Saul and one of his buddies went out to go find these donkeys. And they were chasing these donkeys. And they got so far away, and it was so long while they were tracking them, that Saul said to his companion, he said, Dad's going to get worried about us more than he's worried about the donkeys. So we need to do something here. We need to change what we're doing. We need to figure out a way to get these donkeys and get back home. So they decided, well, let's go see the man of God. Let's go see Samuel. Well, Samuel, they didn't know Samuel, but they had heard of him. He was in the area. So they sought Samuel. Now, Samuel was a very powerful man of God, and he was connected, and God was talking to him. Let's look in 1 Samuel 9, verse 15. God had prepared Samuel for Saul to come see him. It says in verse 15, "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is coming to me.' And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, 'Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of this same shall reign over my people.'" So here is Saul. He thinks he's out looking for donkeys. That's what he thinks his purpose is at this point in time. That seeking after those donkeys is leading him toward Samuel. And God has prepared favor with Samuel on Saul's way. Have you ever felt like God prepared favor for you before you got there? I've felt that way several times in my life. I've felt like I've taken things I didn't deserve, or I've gained favor with people that I didn't merit, because for some reason they just liked me, or they liked what I said, or they liked something about me, or they felt comfortable with me. You know, that's all God preparing that way for you. He can do that. You can't do that. It's an amazing thing. You know, I hear people say things like, "Well, I'm just not comfortable with that person. I just don't, we're just not clicking. You know, I wouldn't trust them to do XYZ because something about them." Well, God can take all that something about them, take all that something about you, and He can turn it into just the opposite. There's just something about that person that I feel very comfortable with. God can give you favor along the way before you get there. And Saul had that favor. Saul had that favor that was going before him because God had chosen him as someone that was higher and someone that was special. And he had chosen a purpose for Saul. And Saul was on his way to his purpose and didn't even know it. And he didn't choose that purpose, but God had set that way for him to fulfill that purpose. So God can send his favor to meet you along your path. So God connected Samuel and Saul for his purpose. And again, Saul thought he was just chasing donkeys. And, you know, the Bible words that a little bit differently. And I'm just going to keep it as donkeys right now. But, you know, there's a lot of things we chase in our lives that's just flat out goofy. We chase a lot of things that we feel like might not fulfill our lives. We sometimes work real hard for something that we think is fruitless. But sometimes God's got you on a journey that's leading you somewhere so that he can connect you with something that'll be meaningful in your life. So don't get too discouraged when you're driving through your path and it feels like you're not headed the right direction or what you're doing is meaningless, because he may just be trying to connect you so that he can do something later. I had an interview a few weeks ago. I didn't ask for the interview, and I didn't, honestly, down in my heart, I didn't really feel like it was the right thing for me to do. And even preparing for the interview, I told Jennifer, I said, I can't get excited about this. Something's wrong. But it was going to be a promotion. It was going to be a good thing. And I thought, well, you know, I can't say no, because I've got to get in there and at least show them that I'm interested in that level. And I got to go do this thing. But it was the craziest thing. I got in the interview and it went pretty well. And I could tell around the table, you know, there were several people there, you could tell who you were connecting with and who you weren't. And it was funny that even though I did not get the job, and I know that was God's will, but one of the guys after the interview that was at the table called me up and he said, man, I really felt like we connected. I really wanted to give you that. I really wanted you to work with you. We need to talk more. You know, we need to get together later, and I need to understand more about how you see things. So, you know, sometimes that's just one example. When sometimes it may feel like a failure or the thing doesn't work out, sometimes God will use experience to maybe connect you with someone. You know, something could come of that, it could not. But if God made that connection, then it surely will, right? You know, that's up to God. So don't think of life necessarily in destinations from A to B to C to D. It's just not that clear. God can create things along the way, and he can create networks and connections for you that'll pay off for you in the future. So God allowed Saul to become king. And he became king basically out of nowhere, and because God's man had chosen him. And God's man anointed him to be king. And then God's man promoted him in front of the people and proved and backed Saul and told them that he would be king and this was God's choice. And then Saul proved himself, because God gave him victories as military victories. And God gave him favor, and people started to love Saul. And Saul reigned for many, many years. And in 1 Samuel 13, if you look at that verse, it talks a little bit about Saul, the time of his reign. I want to show you this verse just to show you that there are years involved. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, that's the way that verse reads. And my study Bible seems to get a little confused about this verse. And I won't get too much into it, but my study Bible, the notes that are attached to this verse, say something to the effect of, it feels like something was maybe lost in translation, or maybe something is unclear in the way that it transferred into this text, because Saul reigned for many years, and this verse in their interpretation says that, well, from this age to this age is what this verse is trying to say. Regardless, all I can understand from this verse is that he did reign for many years. And if you look through the battles that he had and the time that he had spanned in this text, you can see that it would have taken a great deal of time for him to have accomplished those things. So it's a little bit difficult to study that verse. But Saul reigned for many years, and while he was reigning, he was winning. He had God's favor, and he just as God had chosen him to do a purpose, he was fulfilling that purpose. And as he was winning, he was getting stronger. He was getting stronger and stronger. And sometimes as we get stronger, we start to think that some of the things that are happening around us have something to do with us. we start thinking that maybe we, because we were brilliant, because we were a brilliant strategist, or because we're articulate, or because we're smooth, that these things are happening around us because we have a command of the world around us. And when you start thinking that, you're just being goofy, okay? Because quite frankly, if God didn't prepare that way for you, if He didn't give you that favor as you went, because there's a fine line between everything you say and being brilliant and everything you say and making you a moron. And it's all in the eye of the person, or it's all in the ear of the person that hears it and their perception of you. And God can twist that perception of you, and He can make it good or He can make it bad. I've said things in meetings, Brother Ken, that just made me sound like I was brilliant. I'd never had the thought before. I had never had the thought before. I'd never calculated it. The situation happened. It just came out. And everybody goes, that's it. I didn't do it. God gave me that moment. Okay? I've also said things before that everyone says, how long have you been doing this? Right? And when that starts working towards you, you know it's time to back up and get a little humble, because God's giving you a humble lesson. Because it's not you that can do it. It's God that can do it. So Saul reigned over Israel for quite some time. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 21. Now, when Saul was chosen to be king, his first encounter with Samuel, he had a certain spirit about him. You know, and God had talked about Saul being a goodly man and a godly man and someone that was higher. And in verse 21 it says, and Saul answered and said, Samuel started telling him, he said, you're going to be the next king. You know, I'm going to anoint you to be king. Saul answered and said to him, am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then thou speakest of me so? He said, I'm the smallest, I'm the least. Why would anybody pick me to have any responsibility? Why would anybody pick me to lead? I don't get that. I'm little. See, that's the people that God can use. The people that don't believe they deserve it. The minute you start thinking you deserve it, God can't use you anymore. He can't prosper you anymore. He can't bless you anymore because you're not in His way anymore. You've got to stay in God's way for Him to be able to bless you. And we have to fight our human nature all the time. Because it's easy to believe you're doing something, or you are something. But the fact is, you're not. So after reigning for a little bit, Saul became arrogant. In Saul's arrogance, he made a major discretion. Okay, he decided that it was time to make a burnt offering. Now, as king, he didn't have any right to be making burnt offerings. That was the purpose of the prophet. That was Samuel's job, to make burnt offerings. It wasn't for the king to do. Well, he didn't want to wait on Samuel. He went ahead and did it himself. Let's look at Samuel 13, 1 Samuel 13, verse 11. So he made this burnt offering. He stepped out of his role. God didn't choose him to be the prophet. God chose him to reign. He didn't choose him to do the things of God. He chose him to fulfill His purpose. In verse 11 it says, this is after he had done the burnt offering. Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed. He said, Hey, I was here, Samuel, and you were late. Okay, you were late. And that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash. Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down upon Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Yeah, I didn't want to, but I forced myself to go do this burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, which He commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. He said, you could have had this kingdom forever, but you did this one discretion against God. You stepped out of your role. You were arrogant, and that's not something God can use. In verse 14 it says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue, The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord hath commanded him a captain over his people, because thou hast kept that which the Lord, thou hast not kept that which the Lord hath commanded thee. So, at this moment in time, Saul lost something very important. Saul lost it all. That's what he lost. He lost his connection. He lost his connection with God. Have you ever felt like you're losing your connection with God? Because you let things get in your life that break that connection. When you lose that connection, you lose it all. You lose direction, you lose clarity, you lose comfort, you lose vision, you might lose favor that precedes you, and you can't live without that favor because people just really don't like you that much. Okay? You really need God to boost up your image around you, okay? All right, so I see two things that happen here. As I said, Saul got very arrogant. But he also reached for something that he had no business reaching for. He reached for this burnt offering, and he did this thing. God says no to certain things in our lives. You want to lose your connection with God, start reaching for things that God's saying no to. We have no business reaching outside of God's covenants. And some covenants are very important to the Lord. So, where did God's favor go? Where did God's anointment go? Well, there was this other unlikely young man out there. Samuel mourned for Saul. Samuel said, you know, this thing is broken, and what do I do, Lord? And if you read the verses, it uses the words that he mourned as if it was a death for Saul, because Samuel and God said that he repented for choosing Saul. So God moved that mantle or that anointment of that king. He moved it over to David. Now, when you find David in the Scripture, you also find him very humble. And you find him very unsuspecting. And you find him not really anyone. They call him a ruddy lad, someone that you wouldn't really expect to be much of anything. And God said, well, I can use that. I can't use arrogance, but I can use that. So Saul lived and reigned for many years as king before David took over. But during that time that Saul was ruling, after he had lost God's favor and God's anointment, Saul did not have connection or direction with God. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember the story of David kind of becoming acquainted with Saul, it didn't take long before Saul knew and saw that, well, something special about David, and he's a threat to me. So I got to kill him. So Saul went from being God's choice and being God's man and doing God's will to directly countering what God had set up for the next phase. So he was going to kill David. He tried to kill David. And basically he was trying to kill God's will at that point. And you can't win being at odds with God's will. You can't. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel 19:1. I want you guys to read that. 1 Samuel 19:1 says, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." So Saul was directly against that will. Now what happened to Saul's favor? And we already talked about when you're connected with God, he can send his favor before you, and he can set your paths. Let's look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 7. "And the women answered one to another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Already you can see that the perception that the people had of these two men was being shifted. So Saul couldn't win at this point. His favor, God was not sending favor before him. People could have perceived, you know, Saul had many victories. David had many victories. But it was in the eye of the beholder as to which one had the greatest victories and which one was the strongest. God drives those perceptions. Favor did not precede him along his way. Y'all don't have to turn, but in 1 Samuel 15:35, it says, "And Samuel came," after he broke his covenant, it says, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. May he never, ever repent that he's given me responsibility in his world. May he never repent that he's given me something to do in his kingdom. God forbid that he ever repent that he's trusted us with something. You know, what scares me most of all, because I feel like I've had God's favor and I feel like God's blessed me greatly, and I know many of you have too. I know you've received blessing. You feel like God's put you in places you didn't deserve to go. The thing that I fear most is losing that connection with God and losing God's favor. And we make decisions every day as to what direction we're going to go. Some are big, some are small, but they all have the same theme. The theme is, are we going to choose God's way or are we going to choose Satan's way? And you know what it sounds like when you choose Satan's way? When you say, I'm going to do it my way. Okay? Watch yourself if you start using the words, I'm tired of doing it that way, I'm going to do it my way. Your way is probably not God's way. As a matter of fact, if you'll read your scripture, His ways are not our ways. He says that very clearly. So if you're doing it your way, watch out, because you're risking breaking your connection with God. When you're doing it God's way, there's always sacrifice involved. You got to make hard decisions. You may still be in a position where you can prosper, but God wants to know that you'll give up on His behalf. God wants to know that you'll choose Him over the other things in your life. And you'll get opportunities to do that. So, without the connection, Saul could not get God's help. Let's look in 1 Samuel 28, verse 6. So this is a scary verse here. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. He sought and he reached for that thing that he once had, that connection that he once had, but it wasn't there for him anymore. Now, I can't explain that. Maybe a theologian in here or someone that's lived in the past could break that down for us. I don't know. I just know what the verse says, that he sought a connection that he couldn't regain. That's not salvation, okay? The Scripture's very clear that you cannot lose your salvation. I firmly believe that. I'm convicted of that. But it seems to me that Saul at one time had a connection with Christ, with the Lord, with Christ, and he couldn't regain it. Without that connection, there is no direction. Without that connection, there is no protection. Okay? 1 Samuel 31, if you will, verse 1 through 4, we're going to read that. So Saul was in a tough spot here. He was trying to rule a kingdom, and he was trying to win victories without God on his side. What kind of pressure cooker that must have been for him. Now, he had an evil heart. He had already shifted because he was trying to kill David. He didn't care. He had become a very political animal. I see it in my world a lot. Just cutthroat. Don't do what's right. Make sure you look good. Make sure others don't. A lot of negative energy, and that's where Saul was. And he was just trying to survive. And he was doing it without a connection to God. In 1 Samuel 31, 1 through 4. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in the Mount of Gibeah. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. The Philistines had a target on Saul and on his sons. So, just a reminder that whenever we break our connection, those closest to us also suffer. The target wasn't just on Saul. He wasn't the only one that was going to be suffering here. His son Jonathan and his other sons were also in the crosshairs. Excuse me. And verse 2 says, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Alasal's sons. I'm going to try to pronounce all these names. And the battle went sore. The battle went bad against Saul. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest the uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But the armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. So Saul went from a person of humility that was given a great privilege. He was given a great honor to lead Israel as a king. All he did was get arrogant. All he did was get arrogant and reach for the things that God wasn't giving him. God had already given him a kingdom, and he was to reign it forever. He wanted to reach outside of that kingdom and go beyond what God had petitioned for him. He lost his covenant and ended basically with him committing suicide. That's the extremes that can happen in your life when you don't choose God's way. So my message to you and to myself today is to protect your connection. Protect your connection with everything. If you lose your connection, you lose it all. Thank you for your attention.